Good morning, everyone. I was sharing about the book, There Are Eight Men in Genesis. What is the importance of these eight men? These eight men tells us very much about God's heart in creation. Because when God created heaven and earth, we may ask, why? Why would the world appears as if there are so many wars, famine, all these sad things, tragedy among mankind? Why? What is the purpose of creation? When God created heaven and earth, it seems all good. So why does it all change like this? And in the book of Revelation, we see at the end, God is going to create a new heaven and new earth. So there seems to be old creation, new creation. Old creation is temporary. It's a transition state. So God created heaven and earth. The old one is not the ultimate what God wants. God wants something better. So there's new heaven and new earth. And what happens in the new heaven and new earth? Chapter 21, verse 3. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. So not just new heaven, new earth, but new mankind. So I would say new men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. So in God's heart, new creation, because God wants to be with man. Then we ask, what kind of man God wants? What is the new man character in God's heart? So in the book of Genesis, it mentioned about eight men. Each man has some special points. It tells us what God wants from the new man in future. So not just about them, but also about you. God is doing something in your life. In my life, he wants this character in our life as well. So we will be with God in the future, but we have these characters. What kind of character? From Adam, we can see God gave Adam his image, likeness, and gave him authority. So God wants man to share his likeness. God wants us to be like him and share his authority. By giving us free will, I also always mention, free will is not just you want tea or you want coffee. It's not just about making choices. In the end, making choices about who is most important in our life, God or yourself. You want to obey God or you want to follow your own will. So giving us free will is to show us that God wants us to express our love to him. So from Adam, we know God wants a new man. God wants you to show your love to him by making your free will. By using your free will to make choices to please him. For example, you get up early. For example, to read the Bible, to know him. You are making use of your free will to choose God. God like this. God doesn't want a robot. God wants you, with your own free will, you choose to come to the meeting. You choose to share. You choose to pray. You choose to sing. Out of your own will, you do it. Not because someone forced you. This is the new man. This is the characteristic in the new man God wants. The second person, Abel, I shared the last time. Abel and Cain. Cain comes to please God by his hard work, my labor. I grow all these crops to please God. I can do it. This is the heart of Cain. Whereas Abel, I can't do it. I only know that God wants the sacrifice of the lamb. So this we can see Cain represent man very proud, and Abel represent man humble himself. I can't do anything. I need the sacrifice of the Lamb. I need Christ to please him, not by my work. So God wants man come before him, not proud, but humble himself. With humility, we approach God. God, you are the great God. I am just a humble man. I serve you. You are much more important than me. So humility is what is in the new man's character. So are you a humble person or are you a proud person? God wants a humble person with him in eternity. Now today we are going to look at Enoch. Someone here called Enoch. Okay. So what about Enoch? In Genesis 5, it talks only a little bit about Enoch. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. That name means after Methuselah, judgment will come. So Enoch has an impression, knowing that God will judge the earth after his son death. So after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Ah, this is a very special person. Walked with God 300 years. This is a very amazing thing. He's the only one who walks with God. All the days of Enoch were 365 years old, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So he never experienced death. God directly took Enoch to himself. Now, this is very, very, very strange. Someone never tastes death. Someone that can walk with God. Do you want to walk with God? God wants us to walk with him. So the characteristic, what does we know about someone who walked with God? What does it mean by walking with someone? Now imagine, I come and ask you, Daniel, walk with me. What would be your first response?
Dad, I will walk with you.
You will walk? Oh, thank you. Such a sweet answer. Okay, how about Eva? Walk with me. What would be the first question you come to? Okay, you should ask me something else. Can somebody think of something else? Walk with me.
Where?
Where, exactly.
Okay.
But you have to know me first, okay? If I'm a stranger to you, what with you? Who are you? And the second thing, I agree with Jessica. What with you? Where? You want to go to Auburn, but I want to stay in Kellerville. You see? So when you ask somebody to walk with you, the first question is, I have my own life. I have my own destination. Why would I give up my life, give up my destination to follow you? You see? So when somebody asks you to walk with him, you have your own journey. I have my own. Why would I walk with you? Different destination, different goals in life. So it's hard to walk with someone unless you give up your own goal. As if you give up your own destination, I will follow you. Isn't it? Second thing is, you want to go to Auburn? How? Walk? You must be kidding. Why don't we drive? You want to walk? Sorry, I'll take a train. I'll see you down there. I'll meet you half an hour later, okay? You enjoy your walk, but it's too difficult for me. You see, if destination is the main goal, okay, you go to Auburn, I go to Auburn, yeah, but I don't want to walk. I want a simpler way. I don't want to suffer as much. In other words, I don't want to walk with you. You see? By bus or by train? Which way? Going to Auburn, I can go using this road to go to Auburn. I can use another road, longer road, more challenging road, more difficult road. Would you like to walk with God 40 years in the wilderness? Can I have a choice? No. So walk with God is when you think of how much price do I have to pay to walk with you? Do I have to give up something? Is there a simpler way? If you want me to bring into the new heaven and new earth, that's fine. Can it be 2-day journey or 200 years journey? So there are lots of consideration, isn't it? So not just where, but how. If there are easier way, walk with me. And also, walk with you, but you walk so slow. And you're holding a walking stick. I'm young, walk fast. You are my burden. How can I walk with you? Do you have once walked with someone very old? Walk like that? Sometimes when you're driving, seeing some old people crossing the crossing very slowly, one after the other, one after the other. Wow, you have to wait, isn't it? So walk with someone. Are you my help? Okay, I want to go to Auburn. You got a car? You drive me there? Oh yes, that's thank you. Okay. So are you my burden or my help? I'll think a lot. So it's not so simple, isn't it? It asks simple question is walk with me. But immediately I can think of where? How? Is it do you have better way? Don't do the stupid way, the easier way. And do you want to walk with me? Now you can talk with me, but if you want to be with me for 2 hours, you won't feel comfortable. I don't know you that much, isn't it? If to you I'm a total stranger, you feel uncomfortable with me for 2 hours. You may bear with me for 2 minutes, 1 hour, but 2 hours, that's too much. 5 hours, 5 years to live with me, walk with me. Oh, I can't bear you got bad temper. You got no patience. I can't stand you anymore. See you. Bye-bye. You go your way, I go my way. Isn't it? So when you walk with someone, you consider what kind of person can you stand that person. Is he a nice person? But God did not tell us, Enoch, we are going to that spot. No. It seems the purpose of walk with God is the process. It does not tell us where do they go. It did not tell us what did they do on the journey. What did they talk? Is it just walking? Do they talk? Do they share? Of course. I can't think Enoch walked silently, just marching for 300 years. He must be talking with God. So we can see it's not about the process. Actually, it's about the process of sharing experiences together. You know, when a man fall in love with a girl, then they walk down the road. Oh, look at the beautiful trees. Look at the birds. Oh, so nice. And then they talk about their lives, talk about their family, talk about their interests, isn't it? Unlimited items they can talk about. Why? Because there is a relationship there. It's not about the walk. It's about the relationship building. So if young girls, one day one gentleman ask you, walk with me. It's not about destination. It's not about taking a trip. He may like you. You see, to build up the relationship. So when walk with someone, it's about building relationship. It's about knowing each other. I know him. After all these years together, I know that person. I enjoy his presence. Now this is what I mean by walk with someone. You enjoy each other. And it means it's about love. The longer you walk together, the more you know him. So often, many marriages doesn't work very well because the more I know about you, the more disappointment I feel about you. The more disappointment, you are not that kind anymore. You are not that gentle anymore. You used to be a gentleman before the marriage. Now you are a horrible tyrant. You see? So people will change as they walk. You may change as well. So what kind of person is walking with you? Or during your walk with God, have you changed? Someone got baptized among us. They start to walk with God. It's not about what you have done, what ministry you have done, what things you have done for Him. It's about your relationship with Him, how you experience Him. That's why we sometimes at fellowship meeting, I ask you to come up and share how your walk with Him, how you have experienced Him, how you have learned from Him. It's about your life. It's about your relationship with God. It's not doing something. It's about your relationship with Him. So the one who will be with God in eternity is someone who shared his life with God on earth. Your life, your dream, your pain, your suffering, your joy, shared with Him. He knows about you. This is what I mean by walk with God. So what kind of person? In Amos, it talks about when two walk together, unless they are agreed. If you don't agree with God, I don't want to follow you. I don't want to bear the cross. This is too hard for me. If you don't agree with Him, you can't walk with Him. So if you want to walk with God, you have to be agreed with God. If you say, no, this is a bad idea, I won't do it. No, I won't do it. So if you don't agree with God, you can't walk with Him. And what kind of person that can walk with Him? In Micah 6, chapter 6, verse 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord want from you? What do you want to do in my life, God? Do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Do justly means your life is righteous before Him, not living in sin. Not just being so righteous about yourself, you look down upon other people, but you have love in your heart. As you walk with Him, you change to be a loving person. And then you walk humbly with God. So when you walk with God, you should be changed by Him. Also, when someone who walk with God, he should be someone who treasure God. In Exodus, Moses said, because Israel sinned, and the Lord said, oh, I'm not going with you anymore. But it's the feeling, okay? Because Israelites disappointed God. But then Moses begged to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your eyes, sight, except you go with us. So Moses insists, God, don't leave us alone. Do not abandon us in our life. Go with me. We will follow you. Don't leave us. So this is someone who shows he treasures God's presence. How about you? Do you treasure God's presence with you? When you go to work, go to study every day, God's presence with you. Go with me. Go with me to work. Go with me to study. Go with me to the library. Go with me to the soccer games. Go with me. Now, this is your heart. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. What separates us between Christians and non-Christians? Christians, we have God in our life. No matter where we go, He is with us. In Ruth, it talks about union with God. When you go with God together, in Ruth chapter 1 verse 16, Ruth said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, entreat me not to leave you, because difficult time comes. The mother-in-law Naomi said, "Oh, it's a hard time for me. Ruth, you are such a good daughter-in-law, but I don't want you to come with me. It's too hard in the future. Seek for yourself a better future. I love you. I care about you." But what did Ruth said to Naomi? "If there's love, you will say, wherever you go, I will go." I can't help to think of that great verse in Titanic movie. "You jump, I jump. What happens to you, I will follow you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. Nothing can separate us, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death pass you and me." Nothing can depart this great love. So, not just following God, okay, like a captives. God tied up your hand, follow me, and you unwillingly, no choice, you have to follow him, dragging you around. God is not like that. God gives you freedom. Someone say, if a bird likes you, you don't need a cage to keep the bird. The bird can go free. But if the bird loves you, the bird will stay with you. Stand on your shoulder like that. So if you love God, wherever you go, I will go. So it's about loving relationship. God doesn't force us to follow him. God wants us to follow him in love. And in some passages in the Bible, when people willingly to follow him, it's so sweet in God's remembrance. He remembered how we followed him. You may say, "Oh, it's hard. But in God's heart, oh, so sweet. He still follows me. Even he faced difficult times, he still choose to follow me. Just like Ruth followed Naomi. But in here, in the book of Jeremiah, "Go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember you." When? What happened? "The kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, in the land not sown." This talk about when Israelites were taken out from Egypt, going into the wilderness. We just see, oh, God delivered these people. But when these people follow God in the wilderness, in God's heart, how did he feel? He say, "Oh, I remember you, how you follow me in love." So it's so sweet in God's heart when people choose to follow him. Why? Because he loves you. Not just when we respond to his love, he find it sweet. He won't say, "Hey, I don't care. Of course, following me, you have no choice. I'm the best one, you got to follow me." No. When you choose to follow God, "Oh, so happy, so great. Are you willing to come with me?" "Yes, I'm willing." Wow, so sweet in God's heart. So because God loves, he loves us. When we respond to his love, there it seems to be joy in his heart. In another place in Luke, talking about Jesus, when he's about to leave, when he talked about his disciples, "But you, disciples, those who have continued with me in my trials, good times will be with him." But when Jesus facing trials, difficult times, "You continue with me in my trials." Would you abandon him in times of difficulty? In times of doubts? "Lord, if you love me, why would this thing happen to me? If you love me, why would I fail in my tests? If you love me, why would I fail in my driving test?" We'll complain to God. Why, if you love me? We can't face trials. Good times, I follow you. Bad times, Hi, do you still love me? Ah, we may wonder. But in here, you have continued with me in my trials. So Jesus said, oh, even though difficult times, disciples still wants to follow Jesus. Just as my Father bestowed me upon me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So if you follow him, God will reward you. Okay, to show his pleasure. He treasured you. You treasured him, follow him no matter what, he will reward you to show his pleasure with you. Again, loving relationship, isn't it? But in New Testament, we can't find the phrase, walk with me. But instead, Jesus come to the disciple. He said, follow me. Follow me. So it's still the same thing, isn't it? In New Testament, it doesn't say walk with me, but follow me. So who is the leader? Jesus. He will lead us. So not just walk side by side, but also follow him. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So he will not abandon us. Your whole life, listen again, your whole life on earth, everything that happens, each day, everything that happens on earth is for us to experience him, to know him. No matter it's good thing, I don't know how you experience sad times, sorrow times at school and in family, everything that happens has a meaning. We can experience him in all these things, sharing our life with him, sharing experiences with him. You can experience his comfort. When we are weak, we can experience he's our strength. When we feel hopeless, we can find hope in him. He will comfort you. He will guide you. So this builds up the relationship. Not just a ticket to heaven. Then I'll see you there. I'll see you at heaven. He will guide you each day, step by step, so we can experience him. In John Gospel, chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long that you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And then later on, he says, I am the way, the truth, the life, isn't it? So, all this time together, why? Why do we want to walk with him? To know him. Walk with him? You have been a Christian for so long and you do not know him? I will be surprised. You should know him. How many years you have been a Christian? How many months you have sit here? Do you still do not know about Jesus? You are wasting your time on earth. Our time on earth is not just to watch football, to play games. Our time on earth is not just for enjoyment. The most important thing in our life is to know him, by walk with him, by follow him. In doubts, facing challenges, in failures, all these things happen in our life to push us to realize how weak we are, that we need him. So all these trials, experiences, is to bring us building a stronger bond with him. In John 6:66, after the Jesus feeding the 5,000, five loaves and two fish, people start to force him to be king. And then Jesus say, I am the bread of life. And then people say, oh, what are you talking about? This guy is talking nonsense. So many people leave him. So then Jesus talked to them, do you also want to go away? For from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Why? Well, Jesus is not making sense in my life. He talks something I don't understand. I don't agree. He's the bread of life. I don't agree. I can't understand. So in times of doubt, I won't follow you anymore. Now, we may experience something that we can't explain. We don't know what he's doing in our life. But at that time, would you go away? Some people may go away. Oh, I baptized. When I baptized, my best friend Lyndon was with me all the time. Oh, but one day Lyndon is not here. Oh, Eva will say, Lyndon is not here. Oh, I don't want to go to the meeting anymore. Are you following Lyndon? Did Lyndon say you follow me? Oh, Eva, they say, Lyndon, I will follow you. Are you following Christ or following your best friend? Okay, it's nothing wrong to have friends. Just like Jesus have disciples, isn't it? We can encourage one another, but we are not following our friends. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You should know why you want to follow Jesus. He has the words of eternal life. That means Peter realized there is life. There's something different in Jesus' life. And he wants that. He appreciates that. Not helping him, but there is something in his life manifested that draws Peter's attention. So many people follow Jesus, yes, but they have different motive. Some other priorities in their life. When it happened, and in Luke, it recorded, now it happened as they journeyed on the road. Then someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Sounds very sweet, isn't it? Yes, I will follow you wherever you go. Wow. What is behind all this? Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. How does it relate to the... Why would God, Jesus said to that person? He seems to be a perfect 100% full mark disciple. I will follow you wherever you go. Then it must be Jesus know his intention, his motive. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. If I follow Jesus, what would I have? I may have a throne. I may have riches. I may have blessing. If I follow Jesus, I may have something else. Isn't it? So why are you here? Oh, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Is it the reason why you come here? I don't want to go to hell. So what is the hidden motive in your heart? Jesus knows why you are here. Is it because of him? Or because you want something from him? Foxes have holes. It's reasonable to have something, somewhere to dwell with, isn't it? But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus' emphasis, he got to that person, I can't give you a piece of land. No, myself has nowhere to lay his head. My future does not rest on this earth. He came to die on the cross. So if you have some other secret agenda in you when you are following Jesus, other motive, other thing you are heading in your heart, you will not follow him. Sooner or later, I want to follow you. You give me what I want. I follow you. So Lord Jesus is not bribing you. Come, Jessica, follow me. I give you this. Oh, Susan, I give you this. Follow me. Come here. No. Jesus is not bribing you.
or threatening you. You don't follow me, I will see you in hell. I will make sure you suffer.
No, he's not threatening us or bribing us out of free will to know him and to love him. Okay? Then he said to another, follow me. Now sometimes people say, I will follow you. As if Jesus says, cool down. Make sure you know what you are looking for. But sometimes Jesus say, follow me. Come follow me. But that person say, let me first go and bury my father. It's nothing wrong to bury his father. What he means is, after my father's death, after that, then I will follow you. I have something more important in my life. Taking care of my father is the first thing in my life. My father say no, I won't do it. Okay? So there are... Now we can see, he is willing to follow Jesus, but Jesus is number two in his life. His father is number one in his life. So this is the priority. So when Jesus wants us to follow him, there shouldn't be other priority. Okay, so it's a test when you say you want to follow him. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. When we follow him, he has a better agenda for our life to share, to preach the kingdom of God. What about others? Just now I say, good friends. We follow you together, we baptize on the same day, but how come it's just me now? Where's the other person? Peter seeing him means John. This is after resurrection. Jesus foretell about Peter's future. People will tie up your hand and they will force you to go to somewhere else you don't want to. Okay, this happens to me. What about him? What about my best friend? What about John? Said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? So sometimes we want to follow Jesus. Yes, Jesus is number one. It can't be others, but compared to others. Sometimes you like to compare. When Jesus asks you to do something, you like to compare. When I ask you, invite you to come and share, you like to compare. Am I good? Did I share well? How was my song leading? You may like to compare yourself with others, but your eyes is, am I better? You're fighting self. How do you call that? You want some appreciation. You want appreciation. But if you truly want to follow Jesus, you just want to please him. You don't need to compare. What about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that, he will remain till I come. What is that to you? What is that to you? Is that your concern? You follow me. You follow me. See? So when we follow him, sometimes other priorities, sometimes other motive, sometimes we like to compare. So many things distract us to follow him. But Jesus always come back to this. When he first called Peter, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. After his failure, after he denied Jesus three times, Jesus still the same words again. Follow me. Never change. You may change. You may fail. You may disappoint yourself. You realize you are not that good. Do you give up? Oh, I thought I would be a faithful servant, great servant of God, but I failed. Oh, I'm no good. I'm useless. Oh, so disappointed with yourself. You are so focusing on yourself, or you still want to follow him? Follow me. Follow me. Never change. The first day he called you, follow me. The last day in your life, you still say, follow me. Follow me. Never change. So what is this message to me and you? I will say when we learn from Enoch, he walked with God. Follow him in love. Okay, this is a very simple message. I hope this will encourage you to follow him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you want us, you called us to walk with you, to follow you, to love you with a simple heart and a simple faith. We ask that you teach us day by day to be faithful, to focus our eyes on you. So many things distract us, but we pray that you purify our hearts and our minds so we love you and follow you and share our life with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.